I want to talk tonight. I got inspired, actually, a little bit by what Mary did in her class this morning. Ashley showed me what Mary taught, and it's such a neat little thing. I thought, you know, I could spend a message off that visual that they had in her Sunday school. So it got me thinking about how important what she taught was. So I want to share it with y'all. I want to title this, If God Isn't First, It Just Won't Work. Not a very professional message, just not very revelational, but if God's not first, it just won't work. And so we try to get our lives, and we put all this stuff in there, and then if we got room for God, okay, God, we'll slide you in. Or if God's the last option instead of the first option, okay, God, I'll try you. I'll try your way. But God wants us to put him first, and then everything else will flow from that. So let's start in Scripture, and I got a visual I'm going to use in just a minute for you to show you an example. This in Proverbs chapter 3, and this is two of my favorite verses in Proverbs. I just love these two verses. I memorized them when I was young, and just always loved these two verses. Proverbs 3, verse 5 says, Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Boy, that's tough, isn't it? Because we want to lean to our own thinking. We want to try to figure it out. We want to try to take a route around God and say, I can fix my problem, God, instead of just trusting God with all of our heart. Not part of it. See, God wants all of our faith. He wants all. We either believe in him or we don't. There's no part-time believing. We're either believers or we're not. We either believe he rose from the dead or we don't. We can't believe he got halfway up and went back down. I mean, he either rose or he didn't. I mean, we either believe he died fully or he didn't die at all. You know, we have to believe that God can heal or God don't heal at all. We got to believe God can encourage or God don't encourage at all. We got to believe God can break every stronghold or he don't break no stronghold. I mean, we can't partialize what God can do. So he's saying, believe with all your heart. Give me all yourself. Trust me with all that you have. Don't hold nothing back. What he's saying is, believe me for anything. Just trust me for anything. I can do this. I can handle this. Then the next verse goes on to say, in all of your ways, acknowledge him. Acknowledge him first, and then he'll direct your paths. See, we can't do it our way and expect God's blessing. We do it God's way and get God's blessing. So it's time that we acknowledge God. Okay, God, you're in charge. From here on out, I'm giving you my life, my decisions, my thinking. Everything belongs to you because the Bible says that the earth and the fullness thereof belongs to God. There's nothing that's ours. We're borrowing gifts from God. My kids are gifts from God. Melanie's a gift from God. Health's a gift from God. My parents are a gift from God. The air I breathe is a gift from God. Nothing is mine. It all belongs to him, period. So acknowledge him. God, I'm going to acknowledge you, and I'm going to trust as I acknowledge who you are, you will direct my paths. It would save a lot of confusion, a lot of worry, and I'm talking about myself too, a lot of stress and a lot of anxiety if we could just say, God, I'm giving it to you. I can't fix this. There are things we just can't fix as human beings. We can put a Band-Aid on our little child and they scrape their knee. We can go bless our teacher for being ugly to our kid at school. You know, we can go tell off somebody that short us a dollar to a cash register. We can do a lot of things. But there's some problems that happen we just can't fix. And it takes the hand and the power and the mercy of God to come into that situation and resolve it. And the more we try to do it apart from God, the more frustrated we become and we stay. And it takes away our power, takes away our peace, takes away our strength, because we're doing it within ourselves. See, our strength doesn't come from us. Our strength comes from God. And we wear out quick. I mean, our strength goes out quick. We wear down. We wear out. We get exhausted. We get tired. We get overcome with problems. And we just want to throw our hands up and say, no more. And you know what? That's what God wants. Us to throw our hands up, say, no more. God, I'm going to finally give you what I've been trying to carry for so long. I'm going to finally lay it down and walk away trusting you've got this. Because I just can't fix it. I just can't change it. But God, you can. Acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. Now here's Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, Jesus speaking. And we're going to be in a couple more verses past that in Matthew. But this is Jesus speaking. And I touched on this a few weeks ago, this exact verse. And I'm going to replace kind of manna with something else. No man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold on to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, mammon translates, and Jesus is talking about, you know, money, possessions, things. But let's get the money out of it tonight. Let's talk about what are we trying to serve. And I want to replace manna here with self. We cannot serve self and God. We can't serve what we want to do and still serve God. Because serving God, you know what that means? It means we don't do what we want to do. It means we surrender to what God wants us to do. It means self gets out of the way. All the pride, all the wisdom that we think we have, we lay that down and say, God, I'm not going to serve me no more. I'm going to serve you because I've become my own master. And boy, that's got me in trouble because I'm not a very good master. I find that out. Thank you for that, amen. Appreciate that. Now I know I wasn't here this morning. I just play with you. We can't serve both. We got to make a decision. God, do I really want to, if I give you my life, you know, salvation is more than us going to heaven. Salvation is about us surrendering our lives to God. All parts of it. From that moment on, God, I give you my heart. I give you my life. It's no more my body, it's now yours. No more my temple, it's now yours. No more my life, it's now yours. Direct my steps, God. And that's hard for us to do because sometimes God's will isn't our will. And we don't like that. We even say, God, can't you kind of line your plan up a little bit more of mine? Instead of us saying, no, you line yours up with mine. That's what I want. Because God knows our future. You know, God knew that we would be here in this season of our lives. God knew when this land was sitting empty. And on a school bus, I went by to high school for years, this land sitting here. And God already knew that land's got a plan. There's something for that land. There's going to be a church on that land one day. It's going to be a cross on top of a building one day, reminding everybody that passes by, this is a place of refuge. It went from a barren field with no life but just trees and grass and animals to a place where souls have been changed and transformed and set free. That's what God does. See, God knows the plan he has for us. But are we willing to surrender or are we going to keep running? You know, Chuck sang a beautiful song last Sunday morning, him and Jewel, a song he had written about, I'm tired of running. How many of us are running from the will of God? I'm not talking about you're saved, but you're running from really the will of God. Because the will of God messes your life up. The will of God just changes everything that you had planned. The will of God takes what you had planned, throws it away, and says, that ain't what I want you to do. That happens in a lot of our lives, don't it? But I'm going to tell you something. If we don't follow the will and the plan of God, and we try to serve another something besides him, we will be miserable and broken and lost and not complete. I mean, serving God and following his will, sure, it brings some hardship sometimes. But at least you know you're in the right place and you're not alone. To know we're running from the will of God. You know, there's an old movie out, you know, if you're older than me, it wasn't out when I was a kid. But y'all remember James Dean, a rebel without a cause. And, you know, he died young. And, you know, he had that saying says, live fast, die young, leave a good course. Well, he did, all three. He lived fast, died young, and left a pretty good course. Now, think of that movie, Rebel Without a Cause. You know what? Isn't that us sometimes? We rebel when there's really no cause. Why am I rebelling? God, you got a plan for me, what you want. Why don't I just accept it? I mean, if I have a gift wrapped up for Chad in this box, has his name on it, to Chad Perry from Pastor James. It's got a bow on it. No, it's not. It's an empty box. That's got my name on it, James Lewis. But it's from James Lewis to Chad Perry, and I try to give this to him. And he's like, I don't think I want that gift, but it's going to bless you. What is it? Well, you got to open up to find out. I don't need anything. I don't want to take it, but it's paid for. It's wrapped up. It's got your name. It's yours. Just take it and use it. I don't want to use it. I don't want to take it. I don't want it. If he never takes this gift, he never benefits from what's inside. Never benefits. God has a gift called his word. In here is so many blessings for our lives. But if we don't want to do what it says, and there's many that don't, and not just the young generation, the old generation like me. I mean, this rebellious world who don't want to do certain things. I don't want to go to church where they talk about we shouldn't be drinking and cussing and, you know, doping. And, I mean, you know, it's, you know, we're in the 21st century. And if I want to do what I want to do, I'm going to do what I want to do. I don't want to hear any of that stuff. I mean, you know, God knows my heart. And he knows how I worship him in my own way. Yeah. It's your own way, exactly, not his way. There is a way to worship God, and God tells us that throughout the Bible. There is a way to worship God. We lift up holy hands. We clap our hands, all ye people. You know, we pray and we witness and we testify and we show love and we show mercy. There's a way to worship God that's in the Bible. We can't worship God in a way that takes away from His Word and doing things contrary to His Word. But we're in that generation of just such, I mean, everything is accepted. Everything. I seen on the news today, there was a minister you may have seen in Pennsylvania. The church fired him because he married two men. Not in the church, but at one of their homes. And they fired him because their creed is we don't do same-sex unions. So they got rid of the preacher. The preacher quoted saying, "Doesn't bother me. I hate we couldn't agree, but I stand by my decision, and I would do it again. I believe in equality in marriage." Now, this is a minister of what I call, I don't know what he calls it, the gospel. And there's nowhere in here, church, that's justifiable in God's eyes. It's not there. Yes, we accept and we love and praise God. We try to help. But there's nowhere that says I've got to accept and endorse and approve of things that go against this word of God. Put God first. You know what's happened to this minister? I don't know anything about him. What's happened is a couple things. Maybe he's never really been born again. I mean, believe me, there are preachers that have never had a real encounter with Jesus. They're out there. Some of you may know some preachers. They may tell you they're a preacher. You're a preacher? Wow. Okay. If you get that reaction, then something's wrong. Maybe he's gotten a lie into his head. The devil's gotten to his spirit and told him a lie. And he's believed that lie is now truth. To say, it's okay, I'm going to do it, I'll do it again, it doesn't matter. I mean, but we're hiding. He's hiding behind the word with this. He's hiding behind the gospel message. How can we do that? He's not putting God first. He's putting his own will first. Well, I think they ought to be equal. What does God say? Well, I think I should do this. What does God say? Well, I think I should be able to say, what does God say? It doesn't matter what movies are playing, what music is sounding, that everything is laced with such terrible things. It doesn't matter. What does God say about it? God's word still says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. That's God's word. Why? Because we're now the temple of God. And that trash shouldn't be coming out of a temple of God. It's just that simple. It shouldn't be coming out of a temple of God. Doesn't mean that we don't slip, we don't make mistakes, but it shouldn't be a lifestyle that we just continually do that and think, well, I'm under grace, I'm okay. Grace changes our heart. It's not a word we hide behind for future security. It's something that changes us to know what Jesus really did. He took my place. I serve Him because I love Him. I serve Him because He changed my nature. He changed my heart. I don't want to serve self. I want to serve Him. Go to the next scripture, Jeremy. This is the same chapter in verse 31. Therefore, Jesus speaking still, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Whether shall we be clothed? For all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth you have need of all these things. But first seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Then all these things will be added unto you. God first. Seek God first. First, the blessing is not going to come from God being your last resource. The blessing is going to come from God being your first resource. You know, already my daughter at the tender age of 19 has been so blessed, and God continues to show her favor. Even at college, God has shown her favor and blessed her, and just it's been God's hand upon her life. And she actually was blessed this morning. I won't, of course, say who or the amount, but I will say this because it touched me. Someone came to me and says, it's been on my heart. I want to ask you first, Jane. It's been on my heart to give your daughter some money for college. It's been on my heart. Was nobody in my family, nobody related to me, somebody that was here this morning, and said, is it okay if I do that? It's been on my heart. And so they did. And they went and gave Christian some money this morning. I didn't know she was going to be here. She came to surprise me for Pastor Preet. It was fall break. I didn't realize it was fall break. So I didn't know she was even in town until, you know, I saw her up here as a nun. You know, I didn't know. But that's the favor of God following Christian around, that someone would speak to help her with, give her some money for college. I mean, that just so touched me, and it blessed me. But you know what? Christian honors God with her life. She honors God with her principles. She honors God with her finance. Christian honors God, and God honored her back. And so, it's because she's put God first. When we put God first, He's going to make a way for us. He is going to find a way to provide for us and to bless us and to make provision for us. He's going to somehow find a way. We don't, like Melanie said about the government, we got to quit depending on man to help us out. Church, that's what they want, that we so need them we can't survive. I'm going to tell you something. Man survived long before D.C. was ever born. Man survived because God was their provider. And God's still a provider. Now, I believe in authority, and I believe in structured government, and I believe in honoring authority. But when it goes contrary to the Word of God, that's where we draw a line and say, I can't do that. I won't do that. I'll stand for God over anything that you try to say I have to do that goes against what my Word of God says. That's the difference. We honor as much as we can the authority over us. But when it violates God's authority, we make a stand for God. God first. God, I honor it until they go against you. And then I can't. If they would pass a law, and I don't see that coming, at least not real soon, but it could come down the road if we're still around long enough. If they come in and try to force ministers as a law to say you cannot turn down a same-sex couple or you will be fined or you will be sued or we will close your doors if you disobey. If it becomes a law, what do you think I should do? Anybody? Thank you, Joe Brown. I got one in the crowd. Everybody's just like, I don't know. I'm not going to be here. That's what you're thinking. Thank you, Joe Brown. What do you think I'm going to do? I'm going to stand for God. Say, Pat, that's a law that goes against the covenant of God's word. I can't honor that law. That's a law I can't honor. Honor authority, I understand that, but not when it goes against God. When you tell me I've got to do something that goes against the moral principle of what God's word says, that's the line that say, no, I can't. Find me, close the doors, but you can't close the message. Look what happened to all the disciples. Peter and Silas, remember they threw them in prison? And they're singing one night. They thought they had them locked up tight, shackles and everything. Had shackles in their arms, their hands, had the security guards outside the gate watching them. I mean, they were secure. And they start singing to the Lord. And all of a sudden, what happens? Earthquake happens. The chains fall off. The cell door opens up. And they walk out free men. You can't imprison the Word of God. You can't imprison that, church. We are free and set free by the Holy Spirit. He will take care of us. I guarantee you, stand up for the Lord and don't be ashamed. They're going to call you all kinds of names. You're going to get so many sneers and looks, and you'll lose people that they don't want to be. They'll avoid you like the plague. That's okay. Stand up for God, for no plague shall come nigh your dwelling if you stand up for God. I'm telling you that. Your seed shall be saved and redeemed and restored, and the promise of your future shall be realized if you stand up for the Lord. Be strong in this hour and don't back down. Now, we don't do it with hate. We don't do it with hate. We do it with love. We do it with the Word of God. We don't hold signs up and have marches hating all these people. We don't do that. But we do stand up when it comes to say, what do you think about that? I believe it's wrong. What do you think about that? I believe it's wrong. We have to make a stand and choose. Do I serve God? Is He first? Or is my opinion and my will and my desires first? Because many times, our desires don't line up with what God's desire for us is. Because we're listening to the lies of the devil, and he's giving us wrong desires, or false desires, or a mimic of the truth. And we think we're where we're supposed to be because we're not really listening to God. And God's trying to say, no, that's not where you need to be. Don't fight that. Listen and follow the will of God. One more verse. This is John 3:30. Very little short verse here. He must increase, but I must decrease. Wow. You know what the Word of God is saying? That the more I let God be God, the more glory He gets, the bigger He becomes, and the more happens in my life. If I can get out of the way. If I can get out of the way. One thing with ministers, Shirley, that's very tough is the devil attack us with pride. And I felt pretty proud walking into the march this morning. That's pretty cool. But attacks us with pride. And we have to be very careful that we realize it's God, not us. That we can do nothing. I could do nothing. This would be nothing. I was sharing with them before service of how God had blessed us with paying off the mortgage in 7 years, and how he blesses that church van as a gift, and how he blesses all the people. And they were talking about how beautiful our building was, and said, wow, it's so nice. And it's all God. It's all. And they told me, they said, Michelle told me, said, man, I bet you just sitting at night think, wow, what, how blessed we are, and how all that even happened. It's still a whirlwind, really. You kind of rewind how we got here. Honestly, it's like, we're here? Wow. Where'd that come from, honestly? Just, but see, it was God's hand. As we decrease self-will, as we decrease self-pride, as we decrease that I don't need to be seen, God, you need to be seen. That's the deal. It's not about a man or a woman being seen. It's about God being seen. And when God is seen, men will be drawn unto the cross. We lift him up, the Bible says. As he's lifted up, all men will be drawn. We lift God up. Not a church, not a nomination, not a person, not a bishop, not an evangelist. We lift God up. And as God is lifted, then everything works the right way. Let me show you an example here. Chad, come up here. I need you to help me for a minute, if you would. You can hold the bucket. Mary did this morning, and I thought it was really a neat thing. Here's a jar with some rocks. Now, Chad's committed adultery, so I want everybody to grab a rock. That was our message. That was our message this morning. So, you see the rocks, and then this cup has about a half a cup of sand in it. Y'all can see the sand, okay? All right, let's do an experiment here. The rocks represent the Lord, represent God. So we put God in first. God's in our life first. Everybody sees that. Then we pour everything else in our lives. God's first, and everything else comes after that. So as we do that, we see it all fit in there. We put the little lid on. Everything's in there, right? God first, everything went in. All right, let me see the bucket now. Now let's pour this out. And let's do it this way. Can you pour the sand in the jar? It's coming. Keep on going. We have the beach altar. All right. Sorry, Gail and Barbara. Oh, you're not in a spout. Here, turn it this way. There we go. A little more. All right. Now, if we put our desires in first, then try to put God in, isn't that funny? Same materials in that jar, isn't it? But it just don't work. That was my title. Thank you, Chad. It just don't work. So it gives us a visual. When we try to pour things in our lives first and then leave God out, we don't leave room for God in our lives. See, there's not room for God in this life. There's not room for him in there. We've filled it with everything else. But when God's first, then he allows room for the things in our lives he wants to give us. And it all fits perfectly. Just like Jesus said, build your house upon a rock, right? Not upon the sand. When the rock goes first, the house stands. When the sand goes first, the house falls. Glory to God. I thought that was pretty good. That was Mary, not me. See, some preachers wouldn't take what a 17-year-old teaches in Sunday school and use it as a sermon. I ain't doing that. I'm bishop. I'm going to preach a message that'll fire this place up. I'm not too proud. If I can have a teachable moment and God speaks something to me, I'm going to share it. That's a message. That is a message. Ashley was so excited that Ashley after church come got me and wanted to show me this. So Ashley demonstrated it to me back in the kitchen after service. And I said, oh, that is great. I want to do that tonight. I can tie a message into that somehow. So I did. Now, I promise you, this message was not from Mary. This message was from the Lord and me preparing for it. This part, though, was from Mary, her idea. So I want you to think I, like, plagiarized and copied her message. Still got a little pride there. You can see that. So just want to let you know that. But put God first. And then everything else will fit the way it's supposed to. And you know what? By saying that, you may say, well, Pastor, I do put God first. I come to church. I give my tithes. I pray every day. But let's go a little deeper. Putting God first means that when worry comes, is God still first? When indecision comes, is God still first? When fear comes? See, our sand can be, you know, the sand can represent a lot of things in our lives. I mean, this represents the things God wants. But let's take the sand as being a barrier. If we're letting fear go in first, there's no room for God. If we let worry come in first, there's no room for God. If we let indecision or you know, there's nothing like the peace of God. And when you have that peace, even in the middle of your storm, there's a something that keeps you grounded to let you know it's okay. I've got you here. Putting God first is more than just saying it. Putting God first is living it. Putting God first means your whole life, He's it. Over your body, over your money, over your families, over your mind, God, you're first. The devil's going to come and try to lie and counterfeit that truth. He always does. He always will. Remember, the first voice is always God. The first voice is God. The second voice is the enemy. We see that in the story of Adam and Eve, where God spoke and then the serpent came. We see that. We keep listening. The devil will give you a lot of lies to listen to. And before you know it, it chokes out the truth. You just forgot what God said because you now believe what the enemy said. Trust that voice of truth. Trust that voice of God. Trust that instinct. Trust that gut that God is speaking to you. Trust it. Embrace it. Appreciate it. Have faith in it. Trust God. Because if God is first, it will work. If God is not first, nothing will work. We see testimonies of people that did it their way, and we find out once they started putting God first, things started happening. Things just started happening. God began to bless and move and answer prayers because we're giving God a chance to be God in our lives. Church, God don't want to be the final plan. He wants to be the first plan. He don't want to be plan B. He wants to be plan A. He don't want to be an afterthought. He wants to be the only thought. And if we can learn that and embrace that, God, you're my provider. God, you know, I've been saying this for all these years when gas is going up and going up, and, you know, I know it gets high, but hadn't God provided for y'all? I mean, y'all still drove to church on Sundays, and it got to $4 a gallon one time, and I don't think there's a single one of you that came to me and said, Pastor, I can't come to church now because I can't pay for gas. I mean, maybe somebody out of town or something, but I'm talking about our normal folks. That didn't stop you from driving to church. Y'all still came? You still drove everywhere? You still put gas in your car at $4 a gallon? God provided. God, trust the Lord to take care of us. He's a lot bigger than a high gas price. He's a lot bigger than a government shutdown. He's a lot bigger than taxes going up. He's a lot bigger than a bunch of fussing and hollering on Capitol Hill. He's bigger than all that. God's bigger. Who's our trust in? It's in the Lord. On our money. I don't think I have any cash on me right now. On our money. It says in the back, in God we trust. When it comes to your finances and your health and all the battles, remember that. If you have to pull out a dollar bill and look at that, in God will I trust. God, I have it because of you. I'm healed because of you. I'm whole because of you. I'm in peace because of you. In the middle of my storm, I can rest only because of you, because I have put you first. And as I do that, everything fits. Everything is tight. Everything is secure. You're in me and I'm in you, and all is well. Trust the Lord. It'll work. All right. That's my message tonight. Appreciate y'all being here. Got down a little bit. Thank you very much. Got you a little bit early. Actually got y'all out a little bit early. So be praying for Shirley. Shirley here in the red works at Davis Hospital. You may recognize her. She works in the, OR? Outpatient surgery. And the Lord has led her to begin a ministry work. And I've been talking to her some and everything. And she feels God's got this call to do some ministering. And so be praying God uses her in this hour to reach the people that God's called for her to reach. Meeting in an office space right now, just brand new ministry, just got her name established, trying to get things started. and has a heart for the Lord and wants to see the lost saved. And we're very happy for that. And so keep sharing your prayers that God will promote and raise her up, and that people are changed by the words that God uses her to speak. So, all right. Is your son now safely in South America? Have you talked to him? Good. Really miss Mike. Mike left about 2 weeks ago, week and a half ago, to go to South America. He's there for at least 8 months. Is that right? So keep praying for Mike that God's hand watches him and protects him and keeps him safe. I know you're going to miss him, and look forward to seeing him again. So glad you're with us tonight. Oh, yeah. Looks just like his mama, including the hair. Everything. So, yeah, if you can get an address for us, we'll post it on the board. If folks want to write Mike, that'd be great. Just encourage them and, you know, thinking about you. And that's a long way from home. How many hours flight is that? Do you know? Yeah. It's a long way. Yeah. We miss them. We're praying for them. It's time to present our offering tonight, our night offering and tithes, if you have that. If you'll stand to your feet, we'll pray over that. Man, you got a song you'd like to do, like a benediction song? No, just do that. All things are possible. That'd be a good perky song. Yeah, singer, come on up. We'll do a benediction song as you're doing your offering. And there it is. Hang on, man. Don't click it yet. Father, we ask your hand upon this offering tonight, that you use it for your glory, that as we present this to you, we're honored we can present a seed, and it is a sacred and a very special thing to bring an offering before you. We are given to you, God, not really anyone else. We're given to you of our finance tonight, trusting you, believing in you as we put you first. Everything else will fit and work. Bless every hand that sows tonight, and we give you honor and praise for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Go ahead, Jeremy. Y'all can bring your offering up at this time as they sing. All things are possible.